Welcome and thank you for joining us. At Worship Harvest, we believe that we are a movement of the gospel, discipleship, and mission. And we are committed to catalyzing spiritual, social, and economic renewal in our immediate communities. And as a result, the world. Here is this week's teaching.
I'm very, very happy to be here. The Bible says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So that's why, you see, when we come here, there's a lot of noise, a lot of shouting, a lot of joy, because we are glad to be here. Yeah, no one is here on gunpoint. Eish. Even the gates are open. Welcome. Now, we have in the house today the pastor of Worship Harvest United Kingdom. Yeah. Pastor Evangeline, can we give her a warm welcome? Oh, yes. She has served under different dispensations. She became a pastor when it was Queen Elizabeth II, and now she's serving under King Charles III. Amen. Please sit down. Guests, don't worry too much about the people who keep standing up and sitting down and making noise and walking around and moving around. The main point is that living things make noise and move around. So I have to keep telling them to sit down. So those who will be listening to this podcast many years from now, when you keep hearing sit down, there was a man called Pastor Quaker. But do you think in future we'll be using podcasts? You see, right now, podcasts sound like they're in vogue, but do you remember MySpace? You don't remember MySpace? When social media was MySpace. Some of you are pretending. You're looking like this. You don't want anyone to know. Yeah. Yeah. MySpace. Yeah. When your favorite musician was Whitney Houston, we can tell why you are not coming for YXP. Today. I want us to talk about, I have a wonderful message this morning. Believe and see the glory. Yes. Believe and see the glory. Amen. Believe and see the glory. Yeah. When I was in primary 3, I was at the school I attended. It was a day school. It's called Mutai Church of Uganda Primary School in the village. And I think it was break time and I was somewhere on the football field and I had this flash image of my dad being dead. Like, and because you're a child, you cannot understand some of these things. You know, like Samuel, he was hearing God, but he didn't know until they told him, this is how you respond. So I had that flash image, forgot about it, and life went on. And a few months later, my dad actually died. He was shot dead, killed him. I was 8 years. And then I remembered what I had sort of seen. But when you're that young, you don't fully understand the implications of what's going on. Yeah, you just sort of go along with the program. There's a funeral, you bury. And then I went back to, so this, it was December. So we went through a December holiday. And then the next term, I was going back to a new class. And I remember something very weird that I could not explain for many years happened to me. Because when I got to school and the kids started pointing at me and saying, that's the orphan, That's the orphan. Somehow I got a sense of shame. You get what I'm saying? Like, there's no way to explain. I mean, I didn't kill my dad. But just the idea of being an orphan brought me a sense of shame. And I was just a child, but I couldn't explain it. Why was I feeling ashamed of being an orphan? Are we together? So many years later, when I read Proverbs 17:6? Let's read it together. It says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. I started to understand what I felt back then. When I later on read, as we will read together, don't get suspicious yet. Of course, you people don't have suspicion. When I read that glory is the opposite of shame, I'm going to show you that glory is the opposite of shame through the scriptures. Glory is the opposite of shame. Okay. But I could never understand why was I feeling ashamed that I had lost my dad. Then later, when I found out that glory is the opposite of shame and that the glory of children is their father, I understood why I was experiencing shame at being fatherless. Are we here? So, what's the topic? Believe and see the glory. But glory is very difficult to explain to human beings because glory is otherworldly. It's like, it's as if it's not from here. Those of you who grew up in Uganda, when was the first time you ate an apple? Dr. Emily, do you want to volunteer information? No, don't tell the yeah. Just tell like around when in your life. My God. High school. Lucky you. High school, where did you get an apple from? This one, introduction on the table. You went for your introduction. So you saw these. Were they green or red? Green. You are like, what are these green things? Right? Are they for eating? Are they decorations? Now, people who grew up elsewhere where you had apples as part of your fruits. I said elsewhere. Pastor Kathy. So, you find that if you grew up in Uganda a few years ago, because some of these young people, they may wonder, you mean apples are that scarce? People like Pastor Jonathan here, where the only fruit he could relate with is fene, matugunda, chitafeli, nkomamawanga. Things that don't make sense to our international audience at all, at all, at all. Aya jambula. So, mpafu. Ntuntunu. So when they say, have you tasted an apple? You're like, I've seen it in pictures, but I don't have an experience of it. You know, it came on the charts, alphabet learning charts. A for apple, B for banana, C for cucumber, D for dog. I thought we were doing fruits. So, guys, we on TV. Behave. So you don't have an experience of what? Yeah, an apple. No. Until much later when you are going for your introduction. And you see these round things on the table because you're a special guest. They've brought them. You don't know what to do with them. Do you bite into it? Do you cut it? I mean, do you squeeze it and get just... So, that is the problem with glory. It's not from around here. It's from the other world. And so, the way to understand it is to use the contrast of what we are used to. I say, what is it? I say, no, it's like an orange, but not really an orange. It's like a mango, but not really a mango. And all those things. So, glory, the contrast of glory is shame. According to the scriptures, and I'm going to show you how it is that it is shame. Now, we are well acquainted with shame as human beings. Everyone. Look, even if you say me, I've never felt, no, you're lying. Everyone. And I'll get to that later. But in the scriptures, you know, the scripture that really, really was the one I was thinking about to share is when Jesus is told that your friend Lazarus is sick. No, they first told him he's sick. So he decides to wait a little bit longer. Yeah. And then the man dies. No, and so they didn't bring news that he's dead. He just told that he knew he had died. And so he told the disciples, our friend Lazarus is sleeping. But let's go and raise him. And they thought he's talking about sleep. So he goes, and when he reaches Bethany, where Lazarus lived, that's important information to have so that when you're having a conversation with the person you want to marry, you can sound like you know the Bible. Yeah, like, you know, Lazarus lived in Bethany. Don't say Bethlehem. Some of you are not listening. You're on your WhatsApp, but you reach there and say Bethlehem. And then the girl will say no. And then you say, the girls of this church are proud. No, you don't even know where Lazarus lived. How are they going to marry you? Is this too early? It's getting personal. When it's getting personal, you stand up and do like this. And you shake your head and say, man of God. It's getting personal. If I'm blessing you, stand up and say, man of God, you're blessing me. Have you understood?
Yes.
Now, sit down. I'm going to get personal soon. So he gets to Bethany and Martha comes out first. They start this conversation. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Hey. Say, no, don't worry. I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, even though he dies, he shall never die. You'll see. And say, yeah. I know that in the last day, he will be raised. Say, no, I'm here. What? No. You see, that's how some of us, we argue with Jesus. He's telling you your miracle is today. Your sickness ends today. But you're negotiating yourself out of your healing. You're saying, yeah, I know. When I finally have that surgery, I'll be healed. And Jesus is saying, oh my God. Oh my me. Am I making sense? Yeah, I'm telling you, there's nowhere where Jesus came to the disciples and said, boys, control yourselves. You're dreaming too big. Please reduce your expectations. In English, muchisusiza. Yeah, you sussed it. What was Jesus' refrain with the guys the whole time? Oh, you of little faith. I'm telling you, if you're going to believe God, don't give him limitations. Yeah, don't tell God, this is where you end. The rest I will handle. No. God wants to come in and flood you with blessing. One of these days, God is going to bless you and people start coming up with false stories about you. and say, ah, that guy, where could he get a house like that? Yeah, wah. Oh, yes. Am I making sense? Oh, by the way, in this church, everyone walks 10,000 steps a day. So when you see me walking around while preaching, I have to account at the end of the day to the people I'm discipling. So I'm at 4,674. So you're a distraction. Sometimes I wonder how this church even grows. Because when first time guests come and then they see people like this, they're like, these are not serious people. I want to assure our first time guests that the Lord is with us. And also with you. Where were we? Yeah. So Jesus is having this conversation with Martha. What? And, you know, he figures, you know, even God needs a person to cooperate with him, in faith. So Jesus could not go from having a conversation with Martha to the grave of Lazarus. He needed first talk to Mary. Yeah, she also started with that jazz of "If You Had Been Here." But she wasn't too resistant. So he said, take me to where the tomb is. So he gets there, and in verse 28, or is it 38? He says, Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. This is not what I'm preaching, by the way. I have my main point. I already told you. Glory. Believe and see the glory. Because when you see the glory, then shame will be finished. But sometimes I just can't get past certain lines in the Bible. Yeah. I feel distracted. Yeah, like, if he's going to raise a person who has been dead 4 days, why can't he also command the stone to move away? Yeah, why does Jesus come stand there and say, okay, first also do your something. Do your part. And this is not how many of us we've negotiated ourselves out of the miraculous. Because we want God to lift the plate and bring it to the table and then start moving the fork from the plate to your mouth. Spoon feeding, literally. And God is not going to do that. He's like, hey, pick up your bed and walk. As in, you pick it up. Stretch your hand. Remove the stone. Make the phone call. Start the business. Apply for the job. Arrive on time at work. Don't be the one who reaches latest and leaves earliest and you're praying for a promotion. Even God is like, I cannot. Hey, you are in conflict with God's principles, but you want God's miracles. It doesn't work. Hey. Meanwhile, you can smile. It's a very good thing to smile in church. Amen. Yeah, you didn't write the book of Lamentations. So don't move us into lament. Are we understanding? Remove the stone. This part, I didn't even preach it in the first service. So maybe the person in this service needs to know to act on this aspect. Remove the stone. What are you leaving in place that is preventing God from doing what God can do? Is there something in your life which is contradicting the power of God? And you're saying God is weak. He has failed to do it. No, God is not weak. He has not failed to do it. There's a scripture I sent you a few days ago. Give it to me. About those guys who were fighting and they could not defeat the guys with iron. Yeah. Give it to me. I think God is helping us. Yeah. Sometimes You know, once you start commanding God around, you are the new God. So you're going, God is going to tell you things to do. And it's like, your miracle depends on what I'm telling you to do. And you'll fall, you'll put your hands on your thing like that and say, God, you better do your part. Me, I'm not going to do mine. And nothing will happen. So you see these people, they told them, remove the stone. Yeah. Do your part, I'll do mine. You can move a stone, but you can't raise the dead person. So remove the stone, I'll raise the dead. And then some people are like, God, if you can raise the dead, you can remove the stone. Sort yourself. And you wonder between God and yourself, who wants the miracle? Mama. It's a miracle season. Hey. Look at this scripture. Judges 1:19. It's a most ridiculous scripture. Those who went to school, let's read. That's everyone. Huh? So the Lord was with Judah and they drove out the mountaineers, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland because they had chariots of iron. Now, let's bring common sense to the table. You mean God, who is with these guys, can drive out the other guys, but God is too weak to drive out the guys with chariots of iron? No, he's not too weak to drive them out. He's just telling them, that miracle I've done. This one, improve your technology to match your opponents, then I'll do it. I'll help you in your business to this level. This one, improve your marketing, then I'll come in. Your customer care is so bad. Even if I send you customers, you lose them at the rate at which I'm bringing them. So first fix client care, customer care, then I will. Yeah, because even if I drive them out, do you know what's going to happen? They are going to drive you out as soon as it's done. Because they have superior technology. Look, it doesn't matter how born again you are. If you're going to England, you're going to use an airplane. Mic drop. Yeah, some of you think you're too saved for technology. You see right there, God could not help people because they lacked appropriate technology. Okay. See, there's a reason you're not... Okay. I'm preaching better than you're listening. I thought... It's entering your heart. You can feel it. Hey. So anyway, verse 38. No, 39 of John. Remove the stone. Take away the stone. Someone thought they were being very smart and they reversed that for their restaurant. The stone take away. But let's continue. You are allowed to laugh. Martha. The sister of him who had been dead said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench. For he has been dead 4 days. Lord, by this time the marriage stinks. The business stinks. For we just received the tax valuation. For 3 years we have been evading. Or is it avoiding? Evading. Moreover, with Sister Ephris. Lord, by this time, the diagnosis from the doctor has a date on it. I've been told this is when you go. Lord, by this time, what is it? Is it health? Is it a marriage that's not working? Is it children? Whatever. Life has a way of throwing us those lemons. And by the time they are talking to you about faith, in your head you're like, if only you knew the stage at which the thing is, you would be encouraging me with caution. Yeah, we are not talking malaria here. The man has been dead for days. Yeah. Coagulation, the blood is no longer liquid. The organs are rotting. And God is like, Jesus is like, take the stone away. Let's face the stench. Yes, he stinks, but remove the stone. Because some of us, that's our challenge. We are thinking, this is so bad, no one should even know about it. When you are caught up in a habit that causes shame, sometimes people are like, I would rather die in my thing than anyone to ever know that. Me, a respectable, wonderful Christian sister or brother who everyone respects at church, there's no way anyone can find out that I also have this problem. But you know, the Bible says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Hiding it does not help. Are we together? And what did Jesus say? Did I not say to you, if you would believe, you would see? The precursor to seeing the glory of God is to believe. Are we together? If you would believe, that's all God is asking from us. Believe me, believe the scriptures, believe what I've said, believe what is written, and you will see the glory of God. Why? Because glory is the opposite of shame. Let's get to that, by the way, because some people are thinking, he hasn't kept his promise yet. Psalm 4 verse 2, we are going to read this together quickly. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? I had about 5 people reading with me, so I'm going to give at least another 15 people a chance by repeating that. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? So he says, how long will you turn my glory to shame? Meaning glory is the opposite end of shame. Proverbs 3:35. Let's read together. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. In other words, on one end of the spectrum is glory, and on one end of the spectrum is shame. Are we together? Hosea 4:7. The more they increased, the more they sinned against me, I will change their glory into shame. Are you seeing the pattern by now? Tap your neighbor if you can see the pattern. Tell them, I can see the pattern. Some people are hard to be their neighbors in church. They don't do anything the preacher says. They say, tap your neighbor, shake your head, what, clap, nothing. They are like, opening one eye at a time. Habakkuk 2:16. You are filled with shame instead of glory. So you see that glory is the opposite of shame. And because glory is really from God, that's why in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, they used that word Shekinah, meaning like the weight of glory. In the New Testament, they used doxa, it's a Greek word, which is more complicated because it sort of means different things in different places. But the closest you can get to that is beauty, like amazingness. Am I making sense? Oh yeah, this is helping someone. This is helping someone on the fifth row. You are counting to see whether you're on the fifth row. All the rows, okay. So you see that we are acquainted with shame. That's the fight of our lives. Yeah. It's as if just the mere existence on earth brings shame to you. You see, you didn't go to shame school where they say, when this and this and this and this happens, start feeling ashamed. No. You just looked in the mirror one day and you felt like you didn't like some of what you saw. And there was no basis for you not liking what you saw. Why are people... The church is quiet. So, in this story, these sisters had lost a brother that they loved, who was also a friend of Jesus. And he was saying, you're going to see glory if you believe. Because you see, when you lose a loved one, even though you don't think about it, it creates a sense of shame. That's why he says the last enemy to be defeated is death. Because death has a way of making us feel defeated. Because shame comes from defeat. Have you seen those footballers who come second in the World Cup? You look, you are the second best in the whole world. But when they are putting the medals, they just come hanging their head. And they put the, then they have to clap for because the advertisers on the shirt, they require clapping. So they just put, and then they pull it off as soon as they step off the podium. Because the shame, no, first forget that shame upon you thing that is used a lot. A big, big boy, shame upon you, a big boy. Well, it's like, it's as if shame is used as a tool of conviction, which comes out of wrongdoing. You've done something wrong, so they say shame upon you. You see, that's why sometimes we don't know how to deal with it. Because we think if there's shame, then I've done something wrong. No. Shame is just simply caused by defeat. Every time there's defeat, you see, you played hard. You even scored a goal, but just the other guy scored one more goal than you. So now you're walking off like this, like you didn't do anything good. Sometimes you even played better, but you know, the referee, who knows? So you see that life, it's as if life on earth is a shame-inducing system. Yeah. Without even trying, I was saying, let me go back to my example. You looked in the mirror. And then, you're like, the nose is well, symmetry. Okay. Let me leave symmetry alone. It may not have been symmetry issues. Yeah. Whatever. You know your stuff. You looked in there. Who said size? I was avoiding that. So, size of the nose. So you looked in the mirror and somehow you don't like what you see. Like the eyes, they are too small, too big. The lips, are they too small? Are they too big? The head, you would think that if you had a bigger head, it should be an advantage. Because then you're processing power. But what do people do? They turn it into an abuse. Take away your big head. Hey! Why is the big head a problem? Maybe they are jealous of your power to process. That's why they are saying, take away your big head. Hey! Tell anybody, like my head. It works. That's why I'm in church. All those whose heads don't work, they are not in church this morning. Now, Are you following? Shame. We are in a fight against shame. Yeah. Fractures, you know. So you find that when those situations occur, even when it was not in your control to manage the outcome, you start feeling shame. Maybe you started something not knowing how fight would go. You thought we were going to have fun when you used some weed. I said weed, not weeds. We are hearing some testimonies of some young men on Friday. So one of them, he was the chief tester of what they call edibles. All along I thought edibles were like food. Apparently not so. So when they tell you the thing has edibles, don't touch, leave it. Because edibles mean something else altogether in some circles. So these are like drug-infused cakes. So they would test on him. He would be the one who tests. So he would eat. And then some days he would sleep 2 days in a row straight, like 2 days. Yeah, so when he wakes up, there, he's like, that's too strong. Don't distribute that one. Reduce the dosage. And another one, they had supply lines all the way to Seychelles. These are students in university, you think they went to study. They are in business. International business. Someone was telling me about another one that was their school mate in school, who used to grow weed under his bed in the hostel. I think like you have your bed in the hostel and under the bed you have tins of. And so he says he was doing a 3-year course, but it took him 7 years to finish because the profit margins were too good. He didn't want to leave his market at this farm. Are you understanding? You'd better love the church, because all these people I'm telling you, they are all leaders now. They are making disciples. But one of them, so as a result of this whole thing, he started hating his life. So he decided to kill himself. Yeah, he said, this is it. So on the fateful day, he gets up from his hostel and he decides to take one last nature walk to see Earth for the last time. And as he walked, he discovered right next to his hostel was a Worship Harvest location. But he had never been there. He had never known it is there, because while the location is operating on Sunday morning, he's out. And so he goes in there, and that was it. His life got changed. So before you take your life, find a Worship Harvest. Because glory will destroy shame. If you would believe, you would see the glory of God. What has brought shame? Maybe your marriage didn't work as expected. And people look at you and they have already decided what you did wrong for your marriage not to work. So shame. But I'm telling you, there is glory. Maybe you got fired and you came back home with your head hung like this. And wondering, how am I going to feed the children? And even the kids, and you know, big boys don't cry. So the kids don't know. For them, they know that. So they are like, "Daddy, why didn't you go to work today?" Like, "I'm on leave." I'm on leave for a long time. I'm taking a break. I'm seeking out new opportunities. These things, we face them, don't we? We face them. And so you find that your Instagram handle, social media, whatever, is always full of the good things. When you travel to Dubai, reels, Burj Khalifa, what? Disneyland. You'll be there. Wow. You know, which is this one in Kansanga? This world is not Disneyland, just for clarity. They both start with D. So, you find that on Instagram, Dubai, eating out, CJ's, Serena, sushi. When you're entering the plane, you take a video of the business class, the first class, where you're not going to sit. You're on your way to back near the kitchen, but this is the one you post on your... What a shock. And so we live in this pretense world, masking the pain. We are prophesying. Or prophesying. And we live in this pretense world where the real pain is inside. And you wish someone can get Lazarus out of there. Oh, because it hurts. But you know, when you have to pretend before your friends, oh, everything is okay. Meanwhile, you're sinking in debt. Yeah. There's a new book by Grace Muneiro about debt. I think you should get it. I haven't read it, but I suspect it is very good. Yeah. So, you see, and you know, all that the other villagers can do is just come and cry with you. Oh, comfort you. But they can't help. But there is one. His name is Jesus. And he says to you and he says to me, "Did I not say to you? Did I not say to you?" And if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. Let me conclude. This is my first conclusion. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." He talks about this picture where you're looking in a mirror and you're seeing the glory of God. Now, I have little time, so let me cut to the chase and then cause you to think about it. According to James, the mirror is the word of God. Because it says in James 1:22, "Be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving your own selves." It says, "For a man who is not a doer of the word is like someone who looks at themselves in the mirror, and as soon as they go away, they forget what kind of person they look like." So of course he's saying, the mirror is the word of God. Like when you read it, you're seeing your true identity as opposed to the identity that the world has tried to put on you. And the identity that the world puts on you is the one that induces shame. But the identity that comes from God is the one that brings glory. Because when you look in the mirror, then you see yourself in the light in which God sees you, which is a glorious person. Am I making sense? Now let's do some common sense work here. If this is a mirror and you look in it, what are you expected to see? Yourself. But he's saying you're seeing the glory of the Lord in the mirror. Meaning you're seeing yourself in a new light, the way God sees you. That's why he says he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Love has been perfected among us in this that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. 1 John 4:17. For as he is, so are we in this world. The mirror you look in will determine what you're seeing. And that's the mirror of the Word of God. If you've watched Lion King, don't judge me. Don't say, which version? If you've watched Lion King, there's that scene where Simba comes to like some water. And he looks in the water. And instead of seeing his fixed image, he sees the image of his father, Mufasa. You remember those hyenas? What is it? Mufasa. What is it? Say it again, say it again. Mufasa. So while you're there seeing you and your issues in the mirror, you don't know that on the inside, since you got born again, you carry around the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Are you understanding? That's why he writes and says in Colossians, I think it is, Christ in us. Give me that verse. Christ in us. The hope of glory. Our only hope for glory, our only hope to defeat shame, is Christ in us. Yeah. But where do you know what? How do you get there? Through the Word. That's why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So Christ in us, the hope of glory, faith comes by hearing. That's why he says, if you believe, you would see the glory. Why? Because in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He's talking about Jesus. Christ is the Word. Christ, the Word is the picture of Jesus. So, as we finish, you want to consider what God says about you in the scriptures and make that the lens through which you look at life. And just, you have to stop the noise. Yeah. Because the noise is just bringing shame. You have to stop the noise. Amen. Do you receive this word? Are you going to believe? He says if you believe. If you would believe, you would see the glory. It's not about if you do this and this and this and that. No. You have already treated Lazarus all you can and he died. So, yeah. You've tried to treat the marriage. You've tried to treat whatever. Maybe it's time to believe. Maybe it's time to believe. Yeah. We say we are believers, right? Maybe it's time to believe. And say it does not end like this. This is not how my story ends. My story will not end in defeat. Why don't we stand and close this service? God bless you. Just start giving thanks to God. Open your mouth and speak to the Father. Pray in the Spirit, if you know what that means. If you don't, just give thanks to God. Whichever way, just give thanks to God. Bless God. Oh, let us magnify Him, for He is holy. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Church, I don't hear you. You're whispering, you're not praying. Lift your voice and pray. Pray, 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 pray. Give thanks, give thanks. Pray in the Spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for glory. Thank you that our story does not end in defeat. Oh, yes. May your name be praised in our lives, in this church, in this ministry, in our work, in our families, in our workplaces. You are the hope of our glory. You are the hope of our glory. You are the hope of our glory. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus, for glory. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for everyone who is battling shame. Maybe the cause was many years ago. Maybe it's recent. Maybe it's their own doing. Maybe it's someone else's doing. It doesn't matter the source. We believe to see the glory of God. To see the glory of God. Oh yes, lift up your heads, all your gates. And let the King of Glory, and be lifted up. And let the King of Glory come in. We refuse to walk around with our heads hanging low. We lift up our heads and look at you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Our glory. Our glory. Our glory. We put an end to shame. Shame that we've carried many years. Shame as a result of loss, as a result of failure, as a result of pain, maybe sickness, failed relationships, abuse. We refuse to continue that journey. We say we receive your glory by faith. Not because we are good for it, not because we are good enough for it, but because you are a loving Father. So we bless you. We thank you. And friends, as everyone is praying, I want you to know that the only one who can do this for you is Jesus. The only one who can do it for you is Jesus. So maybe you're in this place and you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never made a public proclamation to say, Jesus, I am yours. You are not born again. I want to give you a chance as we close this service. I want us to pray with you. I want us to pray together so that you walk in relationship with God. He will help you fight shame. Amen. You saw the scripture that the glory of children is there. Father. And the Bible says that Jesus, that those who believed him, those who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. How cool is that, to have God as your Father? That destroys all kinds of shame, to have God as your Father. Because where your natural father is not, maybe he went to heaven, or he was not present, or whatever, God can be your Father. God can help you, can cover you. Amen. So I want us to just pray for men a moment and give anyone in the building and online and in another location watching us, you're saying, Pastor, pray for me. I want to receive Christ, to have God as my Father. Wherever you are, just put your hand up and I'll pray with you. You're saying, pray for me. I want to be born again. I want to receive Jesus. Put it up until I see it. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for those hands. Anyone, anywhere else, upstairs, downstairs, I'm going to ask those whose hands are up, if you can just come and join me here. I want to shake your hand. I want to pray with you. Can we celebrate them, bold people who are receiving life? Even if you didn't put your hand up, wherever you are, if you could come down here. I'm waiting for you. If you're upstairs, I'm waiting for you. If you're downstairs, I'm waiting for you. Wherever you are, God bless you, sir. God bless you, my sister. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my sister. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, yes. The glory of the Lord is resting on his children right now. Oh, yes. Keep coming. Keep walking. Let no one stop you. God bless you, my sister. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. God sees you as you are. You don't need to pretend about it. Oh, yeah. Just come. Just come. You know something funny? People claim to love us, but do you know that human beings want the best version of you? They want the good version of you. When your life is going okay, they want you. But when things start going south, can I shake your hand? God bless you. The only person who can stand with you when there is nothing going well for you is God. Because people want the good version of you. People want the Instagram version of you. But you realize that when we are going through trouble and depression, we don't post those on Instagram. We don't post when you're in a dark room with the curtains closed saying, depressed today. No. When things are like that, everyone goes quiet. And many times people are not even checking to see, where is so-and-so? God bless you. But God knows where you are. And he loves you. Yes. One last call. You can ask your neighbor if they want you to walk with them down, because sometimes it looks far. Just ask them, can I go with you? Have you given your life to Jesus? Awesome. We will wait for you. We will wait for you. We'll give it a couple more minutes to make sure everyone takes advantage of this opportunity. Anyone else? You're saying, Pastor, pray for me. Maybe you're invited by a friend. A friend invited you and you came. Oh, you have always come. You have always been coming to church. But you've never really, really made that decision. Amen. Today is a good day. All right. Anybody? At the other locations, if you are streaming this message, there is a pastor at the front. So just go to the front. They are waiting for you. If you're online, you are in the kitchen cooking, you are at home in your sitting room, seated on that brown sofa watching, and you've never made a commitment, you need to receive Jesus. Yes. Oh, yes. Can we celebrate? Oh, yes. God bless you. God bless you, sir. All right. Can we pray? You guys at the front, please pray with me. We can join with them. Just put your hand in your chest like this and say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I come to you today.
I come to you today.
And I receive you as my Lord and Savior.
And I receive you as my Lord.
Forgive me my past.
Forgive me my past.
And give me a future.
And give me a future.
With you. Today, I declare that I'm born again.
I declare that I'm born again.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy
Spirit. That I will serve you the rest of my days.
That I will serve you the rest of my days.
Amen. Can we celebrate them? Oh, yes. I want you to go with Pastor Stephen here. You're just going to go over here. We want to take your names. We want to walk this journey with you. You're not going to walk alone. Just let's go with Pastor Steve. Oh, yes. Can we celebrate them? Hey! Amazing. Now, today is our first Sunday of the month, which is usually our Thanksgiving. And we are out of time, but we are going to do Thanksgiving on steroids. Okay? worship team, come out here. I want you to sing a celebration. Yeah, like that song you sang. Now, once they start, if your birthday is this month, like Mayor Banana's birthday, which was Friday, if your anniversary is this month, like myself, this week I'll be married 21 years. Oh, yes. You come. Let's go, let's go. People who are giving thanks, you come. We just want to pray over you and then you go back. Let's go. Anniversaries and birthdays, come forward. Woo! Come, 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 come. If your birthday is this month, an anniversary is this month.
All the things that you have done, I'm grateful for your love.
Jeremiah 30 verse 19. Let's prophesy over these people. Jeremiah 30 verse 19. Jeremiah 30, 19. Then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those who make merry. I will multiply them and they shall not diminish. I will also glorify them and they shall not be more. Oh, yes. Just lift your hands and receive that blessing. Thank you, Father, for your children who celebrate your work in their lives this month, either as the month in which they were born or the month in which they are joined in holy matrimony. Father, we bless them. You have spoken in your word that out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, which is what is happening, and the voice of them that make merry. And you say, Lord, they shall not be small. They shall not be few. You will multiply them. You shall glorify them. Multiply the years of their life. Multiply the joy in their houses. multiply the abundance in their lives. May they lack absolutely nothing. And may the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you the rest of your lives. And may you always have a testimony on your tongue because of the Father's love and what He's doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so, friends, may God bless you. May He cause His face to shine on you and give you peace. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching. We hope that you've been blessed by the Worship Harvest Sermon Series. For more teachings and other resources, visit www.worshipharvest.org or call 0393-281-555. That is 0393-281-555. We're taking territory.